when we yearn with all of our might to hear a word from the Lord, and nothing comes. It may seem strange to start a series on listening for God's voice with a reflection on God's silence. But sometimes God's silence is itself a form of communicating with us. It can convey information that words have no ability to convey. Many have felt the power in the presence of a friend at a time when there were no words that could be spoken. God's silence can provide answers through a lack of an answer and set us going in the right direction by offering no direction at all. The Jewish tradition, our Old Testament, offers us one of the preeminent stories of God's silence. It came at a time when Elijah wanted most to hear God's voice thundering from the heavens. We heard that story read to us this morning from 1 Kings. But before considering what happened there at the cave, it's important for a moment to stop and consider the cave itself. According to 1 Kings, Elijah journeyed to Mount Horeb, or we also know it as Mount Sinai, where Moses had met God and received the Ten Commandments. And there Elijah spent a night. Most English translations say in a cave, but the Hebrew really emphasizes the word, and it's not that Elijah spent a night in a cave. He spent a night in the cave. In the cave where Moses, centuries earlier, had himself stood with the intention of meeting God face to face. And like Elijah, Moses had gone to this cave during a time of distress when he was particularly anxious to hear God's voice plainly and clearly, so he knew that he had the message right. God told Moses that God's glory would be too great for him to behold if he saw God's face. And so he commanded Moses to stand in the mouth of the cave, and then God is said to have covered Moses' eyes with God's own hand to protect him from seeing too much glory. And then God lifted the hand the moment after God had passed by. And what Moses saw, if you'll allow me this morning, was basically God's glorious backside. That's right. Moses beheld God's backside. To my knowledge, Moses is the only prophet in Israel's history, maybe the only human ever, to see God from this particular angle. One writer who actually gave me that thought shared also that he doesn't know what message Moses would have received from this, what message Moses would have gotten out of this. But what he took away from it, what this pastor took away from it, was God saying this: if you're not content with all the ways I've revealed myself to you already, through the inner hunches and intuitions, and through the ways I reveal myself in community with others and through creation itself, then you can kiss my backside. Maybe that's what God was saying, maybe it wasn't what God was saying. But we do tend to search for God in the big and the bold, the supernatural and the flashy. We want the clouds to part and the shaft of light to fall on our face. We want that deep voice to fill the air with something that is unmistakably from God. And we say, if God can only come to us so clearly once, we would never doubt God again. We would never doubt that God is present and willing and able to help us during times of difficulty and distress. But in my experience, God seems to prefer subtlety over drama. God speaks less through the spiritual equivalent of neon signs than he does through the flashes of intuition that arise within us. Intuitions that sometimes we perceive as God's guidance and God's presence more in hindsight than at the moments they actually occur. And yet, even after experiencing God in a whole myriad of ways, there are times we want to shake our fist at the heavens and demand some sort of divine neon sign, divine revelation. Back to Elijah. Elijah had to relearn this same lesson at the mouth of the cave where Moses had stood. As the story goes, and we heard it, Elijah experienced a wind so strong that it split the rocks, and the word wasn't in the wind. The wind was followed by an earthquake and then a great fire. All of those three things, wind and earthquake and fire, were all ways that the ancient world believed you experienced God. And yet Elijah heard nothing from God in those normal ways. In other words, I think the story is telling us that God didn't show up at those very moments when Elijah expected him to. And just when about when Elijah was probably ready to give up and to retreat into the darkness of the cave, that word from the Lord did come. Only it came in the form of what we commonly call a still small voice, or as the common English Bible, as we read from this morning, said, a sound, thin and quiet. The words which we often hear as still small voice are actually, according to some scholars, untranslatable. There is no English equivalent. But the best that they can say that the Hebrew means literally is a finely powdered silence. Maybe it's like the silence of a great falling snow. Not that you can actually hear snow fall, but it shifts the acoustics, producing maybe even a deeper silence. According to the story, Elijah eventually did hear a clear word from the Lord, appointing him to go and anoint a king and eventually his successor, Elisha. Why would the author of this story give us all this background? Why not just say, Moses went into the wilderness, went in a cave, and God spoke to him and told him what to do? Maybe it's just because he wanted to tell us about God's silence before we heard about God's message. Because maybe the silence itself was meant to convey an important message. And given that most of us experience God's silence far more than God's voice, maybe this little story about God not being in the earthquake and the wind and the fire is every bit as important as both the message Elijah heard and as the messages we often hear. I've had that experience, maybe, something that I call my Elijah cave experience. I was hunting one day out in the woods, and normally when I hunt, you can hear the highway, even though it's probably about 12 miles away. It's Route 86 running through the southern tier. And sometimes you can hear cars on the dirt roads that surround the property where we hunt. And sometimes I can hear a dog barking or a four-wheeler going. There was no wind on that particular morning, and the snow was those big, wonderful flakes that came down. And they were floating down. And suddenly I realized that I heard nothing. Not the dogs, not the four-wheelers. Not the rustling of leaves or the sound of trucks on the highway. It was a silence. Maybe I didn't really hear a silence. Maybe it's something more that I felt. A kind of presence. A kind of presence that comes not from the absence of something, not from the absence of noise, but the kind of silence that comes from the presence of something, from the absorption of sound. Maybe you experienced that difference. One can feel very empty, the absence. But the other kind of silence can be filling, a silence that comes not from the absence of noise, but from something so full within us that all the other noise gets blocked out. An old Muslim sage described silence as the first stage of worship. Deep silence. Like worship itself, is not evoked simply when the divine is not present, but it's evoked when you are present to the divine in such a way that God fills you, that all that other noise just disappears. All the thoughts that are racing through your head, bills to be paid, dinners to be made, plans to be kept, chores on your to-do list. So how can we come and just be and just simply show up in a way that maybe God shows up and silently whispers to the ear within our ear? Sometimes when we are distressed and seeking answers, what we need most is not answers but stillness. And oftentimes it is within that stillness that we rediscover God and we rediscover the quiet assurance that we are not alone. I think this quiet assurance of God's presence is exactly what Elijah needed to hear before he could really hear what God was telling him to do. And so maybe that's our challenge for this week, or maybe it'll take us all of Lent, to find our version of Elijah's cave, a place that is free of distraction. Maybe it's full of nature. It's a place that we can go often, a place that we can come to with our pressing questions and our urgent requests, but a place that we can come to just give God our hearts, expecting nothing in return. Maybe the answer we get won't be the answer, but maybe it'll be a silence, a stillness, a presence that tells us sometimes the emptiness isn't as empty as we think it might be, and that the quiet isn't as silent as what it might first appear. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.